Thank you, preacher. I'm glad to be with Brother Stelzik tonight. I took a picture of him. Where are you, Brother Stelzik? I took a picture of you when you stuck your foot out, sent it to your brother Nick, and he said, get yourself a pair of decent shoes. Only a brother could get by with that, right? I'm just bearing the message. That's all he said. But Brother Nick did say to tell you, church, that he loves you and to say hello, and sure are glad to be supported by this church. That's Brother Nick Stelzik. Who's older and younger? I don't even know.
I'm 6 years older.
6 years older, so.
I have a little more hair.
Don't talk about hair. You're done. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I want you to look at chapter 8. Now, the realism of tonight is here before me. You all are thinking about bacon and sausage and eggs and grits and hash browns and waffles or whatever they have back there. And I know that I'm standing between you and a great breakfast supper. But I ate supper before church. I'm fine. You know, Pastor said, you know, we're going to have a light supper tonight because we're going to do the breakfast afterward. My soul, I think there was more food tonight than there was any other night. And there was gobs of food the other night. But I tell you, we've enjoyed the meals that you have provided, the place to stay. But what I enjoy most is your hospitality, your kindness, and your love for missions. And that shows, and that's made preaching this week exciting. We started the first night speaking of a singular thought, that wherever my treasure is, my heart's going to show up there. I have to be careful what I treasure, because if I treasure the wrong things, my heart is going to be in the wrong place. I don't want my heart in the wrong place. I want my heart latched on to whatever God feels is important. There are four things we said that God cherishes. Where's Emily? Bailed. One night of scorekeeping and she quit. So it's back on me to keep score. What are the four things that God cherishes or values? Yes, ma'am. Wait. Souls. That's one for the girls. Yes, ma'am. He does treasure our heart, but I gave it in a different way. Church. That's two for the girls. Yes, ma'am. Giving. God values giving. Struggle bus, guys. Come on now. Her hand was up before yours. Faith. Yes, sir. Heaven and earth. Oh, no, that was the other night. Souls, that's exactly right. So that would be like 1 point for the girls and 12 for the guys. Four for the girls, zero for the guys. Hey, look. I mean, for real, you got to answer questions. We just don't give this stuff away. Well, we do, really. Those are the things God treasures. So the question then is on me. Do I treasure church? You say, well, what does it mean to treasure? And I'll tell you whether I treasure church. I treasure stuff I'll pay for or change my life for. So if I treasure souls, then I'm sacrificing to reach souls. If I treasure church, then I'm sacrificing to be able to be at church and help and do the part of the mission of the church. If I treasure giving, then I am a part of the giver. I'm not a hypocritical giver. I'm a realistic giver. I'm a faith giver. And if I am treasuring what Christ treasures or cherishes, then I am treasuring or cherishing faith. Why? Because God pays a reward to those who have faith. And God pays a reward to those who give. And when he gave his son, to reach souls and he gave his son for the church, then by all means, those ought to be my important things. Amen. Well, then last night, we talked about two men. Do we remember the names of the two men? Hurry, Hooper, hurry. David and... Close enough. I mean, the guy never had a keychain with his name on it in his life, so let's just live with that. Aruna and David. Joab was there. Yeah. Five for the girls, one for the guys. This is hurting me. David said, and Aruna said, that when each of them were faced with an issue, they both had to learn to give. And from that, I drew four lessons. Well, I don't even know if I want to do this. All right, here we go. What are the four things that cannot stand between God and me? Number one, no possession. That's a boy point. You getting that? You're keeping score back there? That's two for the guys. I forgot how many the girls have. Okay, two. Yes, what? No plan that he cannot change. No purpose he cannot alter. I'm not looking where. Oh.
We're sorry, sister.
No possession, no purpose, no plan, no person. All right, so that's like 12 for the guys at that point. That might have given the guys three and the girls five, so that's six. One, six, so six to three, four, six to four. Somebody really keep score. Aaliyah, do something. Stop writing love notes to your husband and write down those score. Okay. David said one statement that was powerful. When Aruna said, hey, I'll give you everything you need to make this sacrifice. And David's reply said what? I saw one hand. Close enough. That's got to be worth like... What? Who said half a point? It's got to be like worth two. Half a point. No, we'll give him 1 point for one. But he said, I will not offer something which costs me nothing. That's the spirit of giving. And when I think about that, that matches what we're talking about right here. You see those two words at the top? Grace, giving. David said, I'm not going to offer something that cost me nothing. And did he pay? Oh, this is like a 5-point question. How much did he pay? Yeah, $250,000 in what?
Gold.
Gold. Any sentence that starts with the word makes me yearn for slow death. And what else? That's what you were going to say, but there was something else. $300 worth of silver. That's amazing. I made his answer right. Don't worry about it. I made his answer right. And that makes the score what? What does that make the score? 1 point for each of those?
Men and women.
Yes. Who else are we counting for? Aliens and zombies? My soul. Now, I have to do everything. I have to preach and keep score. This is awful. He said, where's Emily? Is she in the kitchen? Somebody text her and say she ought to get here right now. She texted you to tell you she wasn't going to be in church? She didn't text me to tell me that. It didn't happen until I know it.
She said she didn't have your number.
Sorry. Whatever. So he says, I'm not going to offer something that costs me nothing. And that's grace. why do we call it that? I mean, because when we usually talk about grace, what are we talking about? Unmerited favor of God, but we talk about it in regard to what?
Salvation.
How many of you deserve to go to heaven? Nobody. How many have worked their way to heaven? The only way we go to heaven is by grace. But why is it called a grace giving or a grace offering? I understand grace, sort of. I understand grace. I really don't understand it, to be truthful. Because why would God even love us? That doesn't make any sense at all. Why would God love you? Why would he love me? Why would he send his son to die on the cross? None of those things make sense to me. But in the big picture of understanding, okay, if I understand that to be grace, why on earth would we call an offering a grace? I mean, we say grace when we say, okay, let's pray over the food. Somebody say grace. Well, we realize, well, none of us deserve food. Anything we have comes to us from God. But why do we name this offering grace giving? I left my Bible up here. Hang on. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 kind of introduces me to why we would call this grace giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Question, who wrote the book of Corinthians? Paul. I heard a guy's verse first, voice first, mark that down, guys. To whom was the book of Corinthians written? Yes, sir. Yes, points for boys. I'm throwing them out here. These are low-hanging fruit questions, all right? Paul wrote and said, verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, somebody count how many times I read the word grace in this passage. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. How many times is that?
One.
To wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record. And beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did. Not as we hoped, but first gave their own souls, their own selves to the Lord unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. That would be number two. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Where are we? Three. I speak not by commandment, by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace, what number is that?
Four.
For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Four times we read of the word grace in this passage of Scripture. So I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help me to preach to you. And we're going to do that now. Okay, Father, I want to be able to teach what you laid on my heart today. And the only way I can do that is if you fill me with your Spirit, and then if you would fill your people with your Spirit. Let us listen and learn from your word. Teach us and strengthen us tonight. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So now an offering is, I'm going to take the money that's here and just dump it in there. Now this plate is empty, okay? Now we're saying that we know salvation is grace. Pray over food, that's grace. We say words of thanks and gratitude to God. But now we just called an offering a grace. 4 times in this passage of Scripture. So there's another way we use grace, and besides somebody's name, there's another way we use grace to say that we speak with grace, or we use graceful words. Do we have a grace here? I'm not talking about you. Hi, grace. We speak words of grace, or we speak graciously. And what does that mean? That we don't return the words to somebody that they serve to us. Because you ever have somebody give you a piece of their mind and they can't afford that? And what's the first thing you want to do? Give them a piece of your mind and you can't afford it either. But when we label an offering grace, what does that mean? Start in verse 1. Moreover, we do you to wit. Now, if I kind of explain that phrase, we do you to wit. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? Does a guy know what it means? Redemption? What? To make it known. Bringing out the girl vote. All right, here we go. To make it known. I want you to know about what? I want you to know about God, how he gave a grace to the churches. Verse 1. We do you to with the grace of God bestowed. That means God gave some sort of gift to whom? The churches of Macedonia. Macedonia is a region. Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. In fact, one of the, Thessalonica is mentioned here. And I think that is speaking of the Bereans, actually, that passage of Scripture. And so these believers in this nearby region, God gave them the ability to be a giving church. They didn't have the ability themselves. Okay, 2. So I realized that a grace, when we call it an offering, we better understand what the word means. Maybe write it down this way. It's divine influence on my heart. When that person says to you and gives you a piece of their mind, and you in your carnal response rips one right back to them, you are not being gracious at all. What makes you bite your tongue? Divine influence on your heart. When God touches your heart and says, you don't have to be mean back to them. But now we have this applied to an offering. So when there is a divine influence on my heart, it means that, one, God touched my heart about giving. You know why some people have a hard time giving? It's because they haven't let God touch the wallet side of their heart. Verse 2. Those who have a divine influence on their heart. Verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction. So, what kind of people were they? Poor. Does it describe their poverty in that passage? What does it say? They had deep poverty. But people whose heart has been influenced by grace, or in other words, a grace-influenced heart, means my situation doesn't determine whether I give or not. A grace-influenced offering means that my finances don't stop me from giving. You say, well, hold it, that doesn't make any sense, because if you don't have any money, how can you give? But these people were blessed by God to give. That's unusual, isn't it? They had no money of their own, yet God gave them something they didn't deserve and said, I'll give you this. And when they got their this, they said, we'll be involved in that. Now, truthfully, full disclosure, this isn't talking about supporting men like Brother Stelzig or Brother Gilbert. This isn't talking about supporting men like Brother Lewis or me. This is talking about helping a church that was going through a famine. But the way they responded teaches us a lesson. They call it a grace offering because they're saying, what do the churches of Macedonia or Corinth, what do they have to do with the churches way down in Jerusalem? What connection would they have? And the only connection is Calvary. And when Calvary touches your heart, it changes your condition. It changes your giving. And so when I look in this passage of Scripture and I see what he says, that how that in a great trial of affliction, and I see it says later there, their deep poverty, and in each of those situations I realize my finances cannot stop me from giving. Why? Because God is giving to me to give. I notice further, grace influence givers have joy, verse 2. What kind of joy? Abundance of joy. When God touches your heart, when you are, if I could say it this way, a giver motivated by grace, I don't have to make you feel guilty. I don't make you have to feel sorry for me. Brother Stelzig and his wife were kind enough to show us some of those grocery store prices. There's a few things in our house we would not have. Nutella, peanut butter, eggs, orange juice, whatever else was on that list. We're going to have to find a way to do it. That's expensive. And some of you probably sitting there thinking, you know, God sends people sometimes to some interesting and neat places, but is he in trouble? Is that why he got sent up there? No, it's because grace touched his heart and said, if there's a place that needs the gospel, I'll go. And when grace touches your heart, you know what? You give. Can I tell you sob stories? Can I tell you sad stories? Yeah. Can I try to make you feel guilty? Yeah, I don't sleep well at night if I try to make people feel guilty, because that's not who I want to be. But I could muster that up. I know how to do that. But what if I just simply said to you, you know why we call it a grace offering? It's because it's our motivation. It's the reason we give. What was their reason? A famine. What's ours? Our reason is this. Heaven touched my heart. Heaven, God, saved my soul. When I realize that there are people who, without Brother Stelzig going to where he's going, and places just like that, and did you see the similarity in pictures between the Gilbert's pictures? And it's like you could just say, okay, that's that place, and it would look just the same. But why would they go there? Are they in trouble? No, that's just where grace influenced their heart to go. And what Paul was writing to the church at Corinth is saying, let grace influence your giving. You'll give with joy. You'll give out of a heart of abundance. In fact, when you give, you won't allow yourself to be affected by anything. Notice the next verse. I think it's like verse number 3. Read brother number 3, Brother Gilbert, from a King James Bible this time, if you would.
For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves.
So, when grace influences my giving, it makes me willing. Right. If I felt like I had to give legalistically, I have to give. Well, not really. Right. Really, you don't have to do anything.
Amen.
You can be saved, never come to church, never give in the offering, never help, never do anything else, and sit home and play Xbox all day and still be saved. But if you're genuinely saved and grace has touched your heart, you're going to say, let me be with the family. Wherever the family is, that's where I want to be. Wherever they're fellowshipping, that's where I want to be. I love how your gathering of prayers at the Golden Corral. Come on. This is what I'm talking about here, that grace, when it influences a giver, it makes us willing. Look at verse number 4. Paul had an expectation of their giving, and they went beyond that. This they did not as we hoped, but what did they do? They first gave themselves to the Lord. When I have grace influencing my giving, then all of a sudden what happens to me is that I want God to have me first. I want God to have whatever I have, He can have, but it starts with me. Isn't that where David and Aruna were last night in our study? They said, oh, I'm not going to offer anything that doesn't cost me anything. And Aruna said, you can have everything I have. Why? Because he got himself to the place that said, no person, no possession, no plan, no purpose is going to stand between me and God and my giving. And what has to happen here is that we as a church have to say, grace changed me, and grace influences my giving. So the reason we call it a grace offering is to say, heaven, a divine influence has touched my heart. I don't have to be begged. I don't have to be guilted. I don't have to be cajoled. What in the world is a cajoled? I don't have to be cajoled. I don't have to be anything. I will just give. Why? Because grace touched me in salvation, and grace has touched the wallet side of my heart. Verse number 6 talks about how Titus is going to come. And what is going to happen with Titus is he's going to finish this grace offering. So Titus is a helper of Paul, and as he's coming to the church at Corinth, he's telling them, look, I'm sending Titus there to help finish getting that offering together. Now, where's one of those cards? I need one of those cards. Do we have one tonight, Brother Hooper? I probably borrowed yours, never returned it, but I'm going to borrow it again. Pass that to me, would you? Don't just stare at it, just there. Bonus. This is where we designate what we're going to give. So I knew it. That church is all about money. No, this church is all about God and getting the gospel out around the world. That's what this church is about. And so we give part of our money in the tithe. We give God at least 10%. You say, well, I don't. Well, you're a God robber. I'm short of time. I've got to hurry. So that's why I just called it what it was. You're a God robber. You don't tithe. You're a God robber. Okay. Number 2, we have the grace offering. That's how we give to missions here. We look at and say, what has God done in me? What does it mean to be without Christ? What does it mean for them to be without Christ? The divine influence on my heart touches me to give. You say, well, I don't give. Okay. But don't you want to? I'm not talking about, well, you have to. This grace offering is just that. It's a grace. But how many people live in the Northwest Territories? There were 60 villages, you said? 33 communities. How many people? 47,000 people. You say, well, why can't you go to a more populated place and get us more for our money? Because it's the people everywhere in every village that God cares about. 60,000 people in Greenland. 33 communities that need Christ. Thank God you have somebody at this church who's come here to say, we'll go to the places. Now, how many of y'all would just go to Northwest Territories in the morning if you couldn't spend the rest of your life there? Brother Stelzik, put your hand up. Good call. Struggle bus. Good. Yes. Since none of y'all will and they will, let's get behind them. When grace offerings are taken, we make a commitment to give over a season of a year to say, we'll give this. Do we have to? Nope. But boy, when heaven touches your heart, you want to.
That's right.
Verse 7. Verse 7 tells us that we ought to abound in this grace. He said you're going to abound in love and diligence and knowledge. These things, you're going to grow in those areas, but I want you to grow in your giving. What giving? The grace offering. And then we get to verse number 8, and we get the best picture possible of what it means to be a grace giver. It means we look like Christ in our giving. Wow. You know, sometimes churches, they're all about who's the richest giver in the church, and they make a big deal of the most affluent people in the church and how much they gave, and they tag their name to everything on the property that so-and-so gave this in memory of mama and all these things. We have all of these ways of marking superior givers. But what do I see when I read verse number 8 and verse number 9? I realize that grace givers look like Christ. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. This card and what you put here is an evaluation or a mirror. Do I look like Christ with my grace offering? Did you look in the mirror before you came to church? Yeah. Did you try to fix your hair before you came? Yeah. Well, if I had hair, I'd do the same thing. I looked in the mirror, but I looked and thought, there's no help here. Just go to church. But you looked at yourself and you fixed yourself up and you came. And I'm glad you came. The person you saw in the mirror showed who you are and how you look. This is a mirror. It shows how much we look like Christ. You say, well, that's guilt. Only if you're not doing it. We got to look at that and say, help me to look like you. The grace that Christ offered provided us riches because he was willing to take poverty. I wonder who here tonight would say, God, help me to look like you in my giving. May my offering to missions look like your offering to save the world. Would you stand with me?